90.7 KPFK, Los Angeles.
After 13 years of civil war in Syria, more than half a century of brutal authoritarian rule by Bashar Assad and his father before him, rebel forces have forced Assad to resign his office and flee the country. At long last, the Assad regime has fallen.
At long last. Indeed.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Brandcast. As heard on KPFK, 90.7 FM in L.A., 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, California. Also elsewhere in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI, Round Mountains KKRN, up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internet on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, and most of your favorite podcast sites blanketing planet Earth. I'm Brand Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me. Your mileage may vary. From bradblog.com, thank you very much for joining us today. Well, we start off with some breaking news this afternoon. Police have arrested a man that they are describing as a, quote, strong person of interest in connection with the killing of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson, who was shot and killed on a Manhattan street last Wednesday. The man who was arrested in Altoona, Pennsylvania, was nabbed on weapons charges, and he had a gun similar to the one said to have been used in the shooting, a silencer and a fake ID, according to police. According to reports this afternoon, he also was found to have writings about the healthcare industry. The shell casings found at the scene where Thompson was shot by a masked gunman in front of a New York City hotel in the early morning hours had written deny, delay, and depose on those shell casings. A backpack believed to have been carried by the man during the murder was found in Central Park and said to have contained Monopoly money in it. As this guy is beginning to sound like a Batman villain, Desi Doyen, like the Riddler or something, leaving clues throughout his crime.
Yeah, it sounds like a very well planned out attack. So I wonder if this really is the guy, though, or if they've got the wrong person. It will be interesting to find out.
The man who I am not naming, everyone else is, but I'm not yet naming this guy, is said to be 26 years old. Police have not released a possible motive in the killing, though I bet I can guess one. I'm guessing he's no fan of America's privatized, for-profit, monopolized healthcare system. Just a guess. The killing renewed discourse and criticism of the American health insurance industry, though I could do without those who have been on social media valorizing this guy, valorizing the murder of this CEO, no matter what he or his company may have done or what you may think about the healthcare system, etc. Murdering people is not the way to handle our problems, if you ask me. We will, of course, keep our eyes on that story if there are any new developments of note throughout this hour. Here is where I had planned to start today, overseas. beginning actually in Romania. Romania's constitutional court has now thrown out the full results of the first round of that nation's presidential election amid evidence of possible Russian meddling through cyber attacks. Evidence was also discovered of an insidious social media influence campaign with paid accounts supporting a long-shot candidate. Well, all of this kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? I guess Romania actually bothers to investigate such things and actually, you know, reruns elections when they find that it has been affected by malign foreign influence. Very interesting. Taking a note of it now. A declassified report from the country's intelligence service revealed on Friday that this year's presidential elections were targeted by more than 85,000 cyber attacks originating from foreign nations. The agency said the hackers accessed Romania's central election infrastructure to alter information, including on voter registration websites. The hackers also leaked account credentials for these sites on a shady Russian hacker forum less than a week before the first round of voting. The intelligence service in Romania believes the attacks were state-sponsored. Unfortunately, it does not end there. A separate declassified Romanian intel report states that officials uncovered evidence of a coordinated Russian influence campaign on TikTok. Well, that sounds familiar too, doesn't it? The effort favored Romanian presidential longshot candidate Calin Georgescu. The report says that over 100 Romanian TikTok influencers with a combined 8 million followers were paid to post pro-Georgescu content using specified hashtags. Well, that sounds a lot like the story that we reported a few months back on this show about a website and company supposedly in Tennessee called Tenet Media that was paying right-wing influencers like guys like Tim Pool and Dave Rubin and Benny Johnson and others an extraordinary amount of money, like $100,000 per video. And they would do, you know, one or more a week to produce content that was released through their supposed news site that was essentially pro-Republican Party, pro-Donald Trump content. Turns out that so-called news site was actually backed and run by staffers or former staffers of RT, which is a media outlet previously known as Russia Today, before RT was eventually shut down in the U.S. for violations of the Foreign Actor Registration Act, or FARA. The Russians, hoping to influence American politics and American elections in favor of then-presidential candidate Donald Trump, they didn't just go away. As an investigative report from the Washington Post uncovered, when they shut down RT, they just came back reincorporated as a seemingly American-based outfit, paying right-wingers to further Russia's objective of seeing Donald Trump elected for a second term in office, telling lies about Ukraine and NATO and so forth. Several of the people behind that scheme have now been charged by the Justice Department. Others have not and appear to be cooperating with law enforcement. Now, if you hadn't heard about that scheme polluting Americans' brains, and its elections leading up to the November 5th election in this country, please check your media sources and make sure that you are using good ones, at least ones that, you know, have their priorities straight rather than those influenced by foreign sources or lazy enough to focus on stuff that doesn't actually matter to voters while ignoring stuff that does. The apparent Russian campaign to influence Romania's elections, according to TechSpot, got seriously amplified around November 13, just before the first round of voting, with the Russian-supported longshot candidate Georgescu's videos cracking the top 10, trending by November 26. Some of the suspected TikTok accounts used for the campaign were years old but had largely been inactive until mid-November, when suddenly they kicked into life into high gear promoting Georgescu. The Romanian intelligence service connected the dots back to Russia, noting that, among other things, there were overlaps between the Georgescu messaging and a similar Russian-backed campaign in Moldova. Investigators believe Russia views Romania as a strategic adversary because of its NATO ties. With all this weighing on the election's legitimacy, Romania's top constitutional court decided to scrap the results entirely and call for a rerun of that election. Of course, that's Romania, a NATO nation with democratic elections that borders Ukraine, has, nothing at all to do with U.S. elections, right? So Russia would never try something like that over here, would they? Well, if so, if they did, if they had tried it, if they are trying it, and if they, had an influence either on our polluted social media system, which we know that they did, or on our cybersecurity that might have somehow changed votes or affected voter registration systems, well, we probably will not know about that at all, since the calls for a post-election forensic audit, even as, such a simple one as hand-counting a small number of hand-marked paper ballots to make sure that they accurately match the computer-scanned and reported results of the elections, even a simple, small forensic audit like that does not appear to be happening. At least it's not been called for by the Biden administration or the Harris campaign, to my knowledge, despite a host of longtime voting system and cybersecurity experts all calling for such a review just to make certain that the results were accurate, which seems like a good idea to me, to make sure they're accurate as per voter intent from the November 5th election. As far as I know, Biden is not calling for that. Harris is not calling for that. And on December 11, all states must confirm their selection of electors, certify their results. And on December 17, those electors will then meet in their respective state capitals to officially cast their vote for the candidate who reportedly won the popular vote in their respective state. To do otherwise, apparently, to, call for hand counts of at least some ballots in battleground states which used voting systems with proprietary software that we know was unlawfully breached and copied and distributed across the internet by Trump supporters. Yes, that precise act is actually part of the broad criminal racketeering felony indictment against Donald Trump and his 18 co-conspirators in the state of Georgia. An insider, a county clerk in Colorado, has already been sentenced and is serving 9 years in prison for her part in such a scheme in her state. So with all of that, a call to look at those ballots does seem sensible because of the documented facts supporting the notion that we need a publicly hand-counted audit in the states responsible for Donald Trump's win, to assure that they reflect the intent of the voter. But apparently that would just be too much like Trump's phony 100% evidence-free claims that the 2020 election was stolen from him somehow in some way that he was never able to demonstrate. Nonetheless, Democrats don't want to look like that. I guess that's why they're not asking to, verify the election results. Because that would violate our norms. That would violate our norms and traditions of a peaceful transfer of power somehow, of accepting reported election results, no matter how surprising they may be, and no matter how many reasons there are to make certain that they're actually accurate. If only, by the way, to give confidence to voters, to jerks like me, who want to know that the results are accurate as per voter intent. Because apparently, in the Trump age, norms and traditions are the most important thing to respect, at least by everyone except for Donald Trump and those who support him. Which is why I've been happy to see that the Biden administration is at least considering breaking one such norm by potentially offering a whole bunch of preemptive pardons to a whole bunch of innocent folks who have committed no crimes, but who Trump and his supporters and his nominees to top positions like FBI director have vowed to investigate, to prosecute, to jail. As, by the way, Trump did so again over the weekend. But we'll get to that. In the meantime, if you'd like to ring in on whether Biden should issue preemptive pardons to people like, oh, I don't know, Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, Liz Cheney, and those in Congress and law enforcement who attempted to bring Donald Trump to justice for actual crimes, as Trump world is now vowing retribution against them, vowing to prosecute them, well, I'd love to hear your opinion on that. Should Joe Biden do that? Should he preemptively pardon a whole bunch of people that Donald Trump and his henchmen have threatened? If so, my phone number is 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. If you are in our live Southern California listening area or listening anywhere live in the world via kpfk.org, we are on Fun Drive again out here at KPFK. So when you call in, hit button number one to join me on air. And number two, if you'd like to donate to this station. In any event, if Russia did unduly influence the election reportedly won by Donald Trump in this country, well, it does look like they will have gotten away with it again. But where the U.S. has seemingly been effective in helping to block Russia's malign intent is actually in Ukraine, at least for now, where support from the U.S. and its democratic NATO allies has prevented, at least so far, the fall of Ukraine and of its democratically elected leadership. And in the bargain, has apparently helped to degrade Russia's military resources so badly that they were simply unable to come to the aid of their longtime autocratic ally in Syria when they were most needed over the past week. Syria, a top Russian ally in the Middle East, at least until this weekend. Russia was not there, was not able, not this time, to keep Syria from being toppled by military rebels. There has been a lot that has happened since we last spoke to you near the end of last week in a whole bunch of countries where authoritarianism has actually had, it seems to me, a difficult few days. Thankfully, President Joe Biden said on Sunday that the sudden collapse of the Syrian government under Bashar Assad after more than a decade of civil war is a, quote, fundamental act of justice, unquote, after decades of repression by the Assad regime. But it was, quote, a moment of risk and uncertainty now for the Middle East. Biden spoke at the White House hours after rebel groups completed a takeover of the country, following more than a dozen years of violent civil war and decades of brutal leadership by Assad and his family. On Sunday, Russia announced that Bashar Assad had arrived in Moscow, where he had been granted asylum to live in exile with him and his family after fleeing Syria as rebel troops took over Damascus at the end of a lightning offensive. In his remarks, Biden credited action by the U.S. and its allies for weakening Syria's backers. That would include Russia, Iran, and Hezbollah. He said, quote, for the first time that they could no longer defend Assad's grip on power. Quote, our approach has shifted the balance of power in the Middle East, Biden said after a meeting with his national security team. The U.S. has about 900 troops stationed in Syria, though near its northeast border, including forces working with Kurdish allies in the opposition-held northeast to prevent any resurgence of the Islamic State or ISIS group. Biden said he intended for those troops to remain, adding that U.S. forces on Sunday conducted precision airstrikes on ISIS camps and operations in Syria. Biden said, quote, we are clear-eyed about the fact that ISIS will try and take advantage of any vacuum to reestablish its credibility and create a safe haven in Syria, vowing, quote, we will not let that happen, said Biden. The Syrian opposition that brought down Assad is led by a different group, the Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, which the U.S. says is a terrorist organization. It has links to al-Qaeda, though the group says that it has since broken ties with al-Qaeda and has been claiming to have moderated their views since then. Biden said, however, quote, we will remain vigilant, adding, quote, make no mistake, some of the rebel groups that took down Assad have their own grim record of terrorism and human rights abuses. He added that the groups are, quote, saying the right things now, but as they take on greater responsibility, we will assess not just their words, but their actions. Assad's fall adds to an already tense situation throughout much of the region on many fronts, including Israel's war with Hamas in Gaza and its fragile ceasefire with Hezbollah in Lebanon. Like Biden, Donald Trump, who is set to take office in just over 5 weeks, made a connection between the upheaval in Syria and Russia's war in Ukraine, noting that Assad's allies in Moscow, as well as in Iran, the main sponsor of Hamas and Hezbollah, quote, are in a weakened state right now. Daniel Shapiro, a Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Middle East, said that the American military presence will continue in eastern Syria, but he was, quote, but it was, quote, solely to ensure the enduring defeat of ISIS and has nothing to do with other aspects of this conflict. Multiple actors in this conflict have a terrible track record, he said, to include Assad's horrific crimes, Russia's indiscriminate aerial bombardment, Iranian-backed militia involvement, and the atrocities of ISIS. Shapiro also said no one should shed any tears over the Assad regime. As they pushed toward the Syrian capital of Damascus, the opposition forces freed political detainees along the way from government prisons, reportedly including women and children. The family of missing U.S. journalist Austin Tice renewed calls to find him. Tice disappeared in 2012 outside Damascus as the civil war was intensifying. Biden said at the White House on Sunday that, quote, we've remained committed to returning him to his family. We believe he's alive, said the president. We think we can get him back, but we have no direct evidence to that yet. And Assad should be held accountable. Also, over a very busy weekend, one I would like to see as very bad for the forces of authoritarianism, but some of the jury may still be out on that. South Korean authorities have now imposed a travel ban on their own president. President Yoon Suk-yeol, who is under investigation following his short-lived martial law declaration last Tuesday, the call for martial law and to have the military lock down the parliament so that they could not meet to vote to override the martial law declaration. Well, that lasted just a few hours as the South Korean people took to the streets and as parliamentarians risked their lives and crawled over fences to get into the National Assembly building to cast their vote to end the state of martial law almost as quickly as it began out of nowhere, as declared by a very Trumpy far-right South Korean president whose approval ratings had plummeted and whose cabinet was already facing impeachment charges. Now, Yoon is facing his own impeachment motion, which he narrowly survived, at least for now, over this past weekend after members of parliament from his own party, the People Power Party, or PPP, they boycotted the vote. PPP members thought that they had voted to end the state of martial law last week. I'm sorry, they did vote to end the state of martial law last week, even though the president is from their own party. But they said they had decided not to support the motion for impeachment after Yoon had agreed to shorten his term and not get involved in foreign and domestic affairs. As BBC describes, a seemingly extra-constitutional deal that was apparently struck between Yoon and his own party in South Korea. The opposition Democratic Party, meanwhile, which commands a majority in the parliament, they criticized the deal, calling it, quote, an illegal, unconstitutional second insurrection and a second coup. In other words, the coup did not go well. It was called off. The president who called it apologized for it, said, pinky swear, I won't do it again. And to prove it, I'm going to let my party and the prime minister in parliament run the nation instead, but I'm still going to be the president.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say here is that the president attempted a coup against his own country, and that failed, thankfully, but his own party has decided that it's okay, he doesn't really have to go, it's okay to leave him in his own party.
Yeah, we'll take it from here.
Gosh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. It's also nowhere to be found in their constitution. They are making this up as they go along. In a public address on Sunday, the leader of the PPP said that Yoon will no longer be involved in foreign and domestic affairs until he resigns, adding that the prime minister, Han Duk-soo, would manage the governmental affairs somehow in the meantime. But none of that has any basis in South Korean law or its constitution, apparently. His party leader said the president will not be involved in any state affairs, including diplomacy, before his exit. So what's he doing? Why hasn't he exited already? And with all of that, it's still unclear who is actually leading the nation right now. And if, you know, North Korea were to decide, hey, it's a great time to take advantage of this power vacuum down in South Korea. Well, according to reporters who were doing their best to figure it out, particularly from the Voice of America, we're trying to say, well, who's in charge of the government? Apparently, nobody seems to know who would actually be responsible to lead a government response in a case like that. The prime minister and the ruling party's announcement that they would jointly exercise the powers of the president, which no one has given them, is clearly unconstitutional, said one Democratic Party representative, according to a report in the Korea Herald. On Saturday, President Yoon apologized to the nation for his declaration days earlier in what was his first appearance since the martial law declaration. He pledged not to impose another martial law order. And he apologized for the, quote, anxiety and inconvenience that he caused. Oops, I'm sorry. I won't do it again. Sorry about that whole martial law thing. My bad. The Democratic Party leader, the opposition, Lee Jae-myung, told a disappointed crowd after Saturday's failed impeachment attempt, quote, we will definitely return this country to normal by Christmas, he vowed, and the end of the year, and give it to you as a Christmas and end-of-year gift, he said, as tens of thousands of South Koreans have been taking to the streets calling for Yoon's ouster. The Democratic Party leader, again, urged Yoon to resign on Monday, telling a press conference that Yoon's actions were, quote, destroying South Korea and its economy. Yep. But it is nice to have an opposition party that is willing to stand up in no uncertain terms against tyranny. We will see if it works in South Korea, in Syria, in Romania, for that matter, and how long it will take to work. But again, not a great weekend for authoritarianism, as the people in Syria and South Korea and Romania stood up against it, even if it means, God forbid, breaking norms and traditions. And speaking of norms and traditions, and frankly breaking them, President Biden is reportedly weighing whether to issue sweeping pardons for officials and allies who the White House fears could be unjustly targeted by incoming President Donald Trump's administration, a preemptive move that would be a novel and, as AP describes it, for reasons that I don't really understand, a risky use of the president's extraordinary constitutional power of the pardon. The deliberations so far are largely said to be at the level of White House lawyers, but Biden himself has discussed the topic with some senior aides. According to two people familiar with the matter, according to AP, no decisions have yet been made, the people said, and it's possible Biden opts to do nothing at all. Pardons are historically afforded to those accused of specific crimes, and usually those who have already been convicted of an offense, but Joe Biden's team is considering issuing them for those who have not even been investigated, let alone charged. They fear that Trump and his allies, who have boasted of enemies lists and exacting, quote, retribution, could launch investigations that would reputationally and financially costly for those targets, even if they don't result in prosecutions. And they probably wouldn't, because these people did not do anything wrong. While the president's pardon power is absolute, Biden's use of this in this fashion would mark a significant expansion of how they are deployed, and some Biden aides fear that it could lay the groundwork for an even more drastic use by Donald Trump. Really? Really? Do you really think that Trump's not going to do any of this anyway if he wants? No matter what the Biden administration does or does not do? It's like, once again, Democrats are, you know, bringing a very careful and polite knife to a deadly gunfight. Or bringing norms and traditions to a fascist. By the way, have we all forgotten that Republican President Gerald Ford preemptively pardoned former Republican President Richard Nixon before he was charged with anything? But sure, this is all new, never been done before, and it's going to give Trump bad ideas. Biden's team also worried that issuing pardons would feed into claims by Trump and his allies that the individuals actually did commit acts that necessitated giving them immunity. True. In normal times, a presidential pardon is supposed to be in a recognition that a crime has in fact been committed, but these are not normal times, and that needs to be said clearly. But all right, fair enough. Offer them preemptive pardons if they want them. How about that? Folks like Liz Cheney, folks like Congressman Benny Thompson, who both led the congressional committee that led the investigation of Donald Trump's January 6th insurrection, who Trump, by the way, this past weekend said, quote, should go to jail, Liz Cheney and Benny Thompson. He's saying it. They should go to jail for having led a congressional committee. Offer those pardons to people like Liz Cheney and Benny Thompson and Adam Kinzinger and Adam Schiff and Anthony Fauci and Jack Smith and Nancy Pelosi and all of those who Trump and his lackeys have vowed to throw in jail. Offer them those pardons, I say. And if they want them, great, grant them. If they don't, okay. That's my position anyway on this, because I'm sick of playing defense against fascists. If you're in our live Southern California listening area or listening live on the web stream at kpfk.org, I would love to hear your position. Give me a call. Let me know at 818-985-5735. Hit option number one to join us on air. 818-985-KPFK. I would love to hear your thoughts on that, whether you agree or disagree with me on that or any of the other stories that we've covered so far today. Trump has talked about enemies from within being more dangerous than any foreign enemy we may face. And he circulated social media posts that call for the jailing of Joe Biden, of Vice President Kamala Harris, former President Mike Pence, Senators Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer. Yeah, offer all of them a pardon. Kash Patel, whom Trump has announced as his nominee to be director of the FBI, he has listed dozens of former government officials in his own book by name, saying that he wants to, quote, come after them. Should Joe Biden let that happen? Or should he do something about it while he has the chance? Give me a call, 818-985-5735. I'm Brad Friedman, and you are listening to The Bradcast. All right, as I said, we are on Fund Drive right now. And we could use your support big time here at KPFK in Los Angeles. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. If you're able to donate any amount you like to show your support for the broadcast, for KPFK, for Pacifica Radio, any amount you like. If it's $25 or more, you become a member of KPFK, which has various privileges. Even better, if you make a tax-deductible donation, automated donation to our Sustainer's Circle of any amount you like, you can set it and forget it once a month, whatever amount you decide will come out of your credit card and so forth, and help KPFK and Pacifica Radio stay on your public airwaves. the only non-corporatized station in California, frankly, in Los Angeles. And that is all thanks to you and your support at 818-985-5735. Now, I do want to note that news over the past week or so, we've now got a new interim general manager here at the station, and some programming changes are being made, and I am hopeful that they are very good programming changes that I personally have been calling for a while. We will see what happens. We will see how long it takes to make it happen. But I consider all of this good news, and this is a perfect time to come in and support that long overdue change needed to our programming, at least before the Republicans from Project 2025, who have explicitly targeted Pacifica Radio to take down, at least until they have at us, and then we're really going to need your support. 818-985-5735.
Yep, that's 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735. Please call us right now and tell them the Bradcast sent you. Click 2 to donate, and we want to remind you that this your generous donation to KPFK is 100% tax deductible because KPFK is a nonprofit, listener-supported, not corporate-supported. You are the one that keeps KPFK on the air, and we'd like to. We also have lots of wonderful thank you gifts for you at our website.
Yeah. Forgot to mention
at kpfk.org. So please call us now, 818-985-KPFK
or kpfk.org. And now back to the broadcast.
And Cheney was behind it, and so was Benny Thompson and everybody on that committee.
We're gonna
for what they did.
Yeah,
honestly, they should go to jail.
So you think Liz Cheney should go to jail?
If I lose my head, beg your pardon for things I have said, beg your pardon.
Welcome back to the Bradcast. Beg your pardon. I'm Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Richard Painter, a Trump critic who served as the top White House ethics lawyer under President George W. Bush, said that he was reluctantly in support of having Joe Biden issue sweeping preemptive pardons to people who could be targeted by Trump's administration. He said that he hoped that that would, quote, clean the slate for the incoming president and encourage him to focus on governing, not on punishing his allies. It's not an ideal situation at all, said Painter. We have a whole lot of bad options confronting us at this point. Yes, we do. But he said there could be blatant illegal conduct over the next 4 years, and Donald Trump can go out and pardon his people before he leaves office. He recognized that could be the example set here by Joe Biden. But, said Painter, if he's going to do that, he's going to do that anyway, regardless of what Joe Biden does. And I agree. Do you? 818-985-KPFK. Time for Biden and Democrats to go on the offensive and stop playing nice all the time by following norms and traditions that only they apparently seem to follow. Following the rule of law is one thing, but nicety for the sake of nicety and civility, well, where has that gotten us in over the past 8 years? 818-985-5735, if you'd like to ring in right now, 818-985-KPFK. I would love to hear from you. Let me go to Carlos in Thousand Oaks. Hey, Carlos, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, yeah. I just question the, you know, when we look back in history and we look back at, like, Nixon and we look back at the way Bill Barr pardoned everybody, fired all those attorneys when they were investigating Iran-Contra, and the way that treason was conducted to get Jimmy Carter out of office and
did we lose him?
The defense fund.
We lost you. Carlos, we lost you for a second there. You said that Jimmy Carter in office, and then I lost you.
Well, in other words, James Baker illegally negotiated with the Iranian hostage takers
to
keep the hostages.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really never been litigated.
Well, that's arguably unlawful. But I understand what you're saying is that because they chicanery fired a bunch of people, so they couldn't be held accountable. I mean, actually, they could have been held accountable. I think it's that two nice Democrats decided to not do it, basically.
Agreed. And really, we do need to start bringing the Uzi to the butter knife fight.
Yes.
So, I mean,
metaphorically speaking, of course, metaphorically speaking. Yes. Go ahead.
But metaphorically speaking. But I mean, you're talking about, you know, it was the Republicans, for example, who would not allow Obama to draw a red line in Syria. And that kind of lends itself to that lady who was the Russian lady who was sleeping around with all the congressmen, the Russian lady who was into guns.
Yeah.
All of these things have never really been hashed out in the public's eye, and
right.
They never have really seen the truth of these things in the way that conservatives don't conserve anything at all except their tax breaks.
Okay, but all of that said, Carlos, how does that have to do with whether Joe Biden should preemptively pardon these people or not, that we know that Donald Trump is going to try to attack?
I think the media really, should we pardon the media too? Should we pardon everybody? I mean,
yeah.
We have to start standing up for people who are being attacked by law enforcement.
Do you think we should preemptively pardon the media and the people that in the media that Kash Patel, supposedly going to be Donald Trump's next FBI director, the Kash Patel has vowed to go after, has vowed to throw in jail? Should they be preemptively pardoned?
It'd be far more important to keep Kash Patel out of that office because he's completely unqualified.
Yeah, but I agree. But if he gets in, or if someone else gets in, you know, Pam Bondi is replacing Matt Gaetz for Attorney General. Do you think she's not going to go after these people? Of course she is. Here's Kash Patel. Well, he was asked on Steve Bannon's show, I think at the end of last year, whether if Trump got back in power, they were going to go after all of their enemies. Here's what Kash said specifically about the media, Carlos.
We will go out and find the conspirators, not just in government, but in the media. Yes, we're going to come after the people in the media who lied about American citizens, who helped Joe Biden rig presidential elections. We're going to come after you, whether it's criminally or civilly. We'll figure that out. But yeah, we're putting you all on notice. And this is why they hate us. This is why we're tyrannical. This is why we're dictators.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons you're dictators. But Carlos,
about all the tax breaks he's gotten that other people didn't get, you know, for example, why don't we have a mother a single mother who's raised five kids be the one who's going to be running the office of efficiency? I mean, give me a break.
Right.
Having billionaires running the office of efficiency, why don't we just make all crimes legal?
Oh, well, Carlos, the billionaires are going to find exactly what is wrong with the system that made them all billionaires. So, you know, back off of them. Anyway, Carlos, I got to go. I got a lot of other people who want to get in. Quickly, an answer. You bring up a lot of other interesting points, but a quick answer is, do you think that Joe Biden should just preemptively pardon all of these people who, or at least offer them a pardon if they have a chance of being attacked?
I think we better, if we don't drink the lemonade sour, we won't know how much sugar we need to add.
Carlos,
so I think
is that a yes or a no?
That's a no. I actually think that we need to maintain norms. I think we need to push back on the rebumble cons keep on. Yeah.
All right. Finally got an answer from you. Thanks, Carlos. I do appreciate the call, my friend. 818-985-KPFK. In his first sit-down interview since the election, Trump reiterated on Meet the Press just on Sunday his desire for the January 6th committee members of Congress to be jailed. It was sort of an awkwardly worded exchange, but Trump said in his usual coded speech that while he wouldn't order the Justice Department to pursue the members of the January 6th committee, he kind of expected his new appointees to do it, you know, on their own.
And Cheney was behind it, and so was Benny Thompson and everybody on that committee.
We're going to
for what they did.
Yeah.
Honestly, they should go to jail.
So you think Liz Cheney should go to jail?
for what
everyone
they did.
Everyone on the committee, you
I think everybody,
on the,
anybody that voted in favor.
Are you going to direct your FBI director and your attorney general to send them to jail?
No, not at all. I think that they'll have to look at that.
Yes, not at all. They'll just have to look at this interview where I said, I think they should go to jail. Former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, the vice chair of the January 6th committee, she issued a withering statement in response to Trump's interview, charging that Trump, quote, lied about the January 6th select committee when he said the committee members, quote, should go to jail. She added, quote, there is no conceivably appropriate factual or constitutional basis for what Donald Trump is suggesting, a Justice Department investigation of the work of a congressional committee. And she notes any lawyer who attempts to pursue that course would quickly find themselves engaged in sanctionable conduct. Oh, no. Not sanctionable conduct. That'll stop them, Liz. Yeah, I think President Biden ought to offer her a preemptive pardon. Leave it up to her if she wants to accept it. If she doesn't, that's fine. So should everybody else on Cash Patel's hit list. And I can read it to you because he wrote down 60 names in his own book called Government Gangsters that he pledges to go after. Trump has said that he would nominate Patel as the FBI director, even though there's still three more years left in the current Trump-appointed FBI director's term. That's Christopher Wray. But apparently Trump's going to fire Wray as he fired James Comey. He's going to install Patel, who included that list of 60 names to go after in his own book. 818-985-KPFK. Should Joe Biden cut that off at the pass and offer preemptive pardons to these folks? Let me go to Mike in L.A. Hey, Mike, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
I don't have much of an answer to your question because it's the wrong question.
Okay.
What we should be asking right now is what duty of the presidency cannot be conducted from a prison cell in New York? Because we have only one politician at the moment who is convicted of crimes which have already sent his chief financial officer and his lawyer to prison. In fact, that old voicemail joke, you'll hear from my lawyer the minute he gets out of prison. Well, same thing with our president. Tried to publish a piece in Democratic Underground yesterday. The headline was, "Judge, to resuscitate our dying republic, please lock him up."
Yeah.
That's all we should be addressing right now and not letting him set terms of our political discussions.
Okay, fair enough, and a fair enough question. Of course, the Supreme Court has, I believe, already ruled that you can't do that to a sitting president, but I could be wrong, and by the way,
they ruled on federal cases, as I understand.
Ah, you're right, versus in New York. You're right, absolutely.
This is a very important moment in the constitutional history of the U.S.
All right.
Because we're about to say the state of New York does not exist constitutionally.
Interesting. And you'd love to see the people rise up in favor of that. I'm with you. That said, I did have a question, Mike, and it was, should Joe Biden preemptively pardon these people, yes or no?
I don't care.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Good to hear from you, my friend. 818-985-KPFK. Does anybody care about my question? Let me go to Carmen in Phelan, California. Is that right? Carmen, welcome
to
the brand. Hey,
Hi.
Carmen. Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being
what?
Had.
I'm going to ask you a question first. I think he should. And I think he should because I think that the Trump administration and Trump has demonstrated that he is not a man of his word, that he's wishy-washy, can fluctuate back and forth, and that he's vengeful. And so I think there's nothing wrong with preempting that strike because you don't know what he's going to decide from one day to the next sometimes, whatever is convenient. But he has shown and demonstrated that he is someone that seeks revenge, seeks reprisal.
Well, he says he's going to do it. He says he's going to do it. He says, yes, I believe these people should be jailed. He ran for office saying, I will be your retribution. He is saying out loud he is going to do it. He's saying out loud he's going to throw people in jail.
We are not listening as the people.
Right, I know.
He often says things and we don't listen. We think, oh, he just means this. We don't have to reinterpret his words. We should take it for his word.
Okay.
He wants to do it. Let's protect the people that we can protect them while we can protect them because we don't know what we're in store for. This is something of a person that doesn't follow decorum, doesn't follow norms. He doesn't care about virtues or or policies that are, you know, not necessarily detailed in writing or, you know, things that we follow as a tradition for the good of the whole. He's out to help himself to wherever he can and his friends, and we got to do what we can while we can.
Thank you, Carmen. I appreciate that, and I appreciate your actually answering the question, whether you like it or not. Thanks much. I appreciate that. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Matt in San Luis Obispo. Hey, Matt. Welcome back to the broadcast, sir. Oh, Matt. Do we have Matt?
Hello.
There we go. Hey, Matt. We got you. Sorry about that.
Okay. I have two feeds going on right now. I have...
Oh, Matt, you got to turn down one feed. You got to turn everything down except for the phone. We will come back to you.
I'm not on anything. I am on my phone.
Oh, you're on something, brother. Okay, you got two feeds on your phone, is what you're saying?
I am on my phone.
Okay. Yeah, either. Go ahead, Matt. Talk.
Okay, I still have two feeds on my phone. Anyway, and an echo. Anyway, briefly, I will.
And now we've lost Matt. Matt, do it. We got a bad cell. Matt,
I only have a phone.
Hang on, Matt. I know, Matt. It's okay. Call us back. Call us back. We'll get a better cell. Okay? Please. And we'll go to Rob in Apple Valley at the same time. Hey, Rob, welcome to the broadcast, Rob.
Yeah, I don't think you should do a blanket pardon on anyone, right? Just at this point, you know, because if Trump's going to do what he's going to do, you know, and especially like what they're saying about jailing people in his own party, right? Let him take the lumps. And once the head start getting cracked, right? The skull's getting cracked. They might start showing a spine against this guy, right? Once they're coming after him.
Wait. So you're saying we should let skulls get cracked in order to show spine?
I'm saying that may happen with Trump. Don't let Biden. I don't think he should do the blanket pardon, right?
Right.
But when Trump jumps into action and skulls start getting cracked, you know, then the Senate, you know, these Republicans that are under his ire might get a spine and stop him. You know,
well, but no, they can't stop him. They can't stop him. There's nothing that if the once the president is out of office, once Biden is out of office, there is nothing to stop the Justice Department, the FBI, whoever, from going after these people. That's the point. This is the only chance. And by the way, Donald Trump has received a preemptive pardon for any crimes that he may commit as president from the U.S. Supreme Court. So that's all that we're talking about, extending to people that we know that Donald Trump is going to attack.
You are right, you know, but once if this starts happening, right, these folks may start changing their minds about this, you know, even if it can't be stopped, right, you know.
All right.
Logic can't stop it. Jokes can't stop it, you know.
Yeah.
Uzi's had a better knife or whatever, you know, that can't stop it.
Yeah, but a pardon. A pardon.
But, you know, maybe once things start happening, people will go, wow. Like, they'll finally...
But a pardon can stop it. Well, they're going to recognize it, I fear, anyway. In the meantime, I don't think a lot of innocent people need to be dragged into any more than they need to. I got to go, Rob, because I want to get to a lot of...
I know, but we're already under a police state under that clown. So
I hear you. I hear you. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. Did we get Matt back yet? We did not get him back. Let me go to Bob in L.A. Bob, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hi, thank you. I just want to comment on the question you asked about the pardons.
Yes, go ahead.
I think it's a great question, but I kind of think that you have to look at a bigger picture, you know? I think that Trump's going to help a lot in the Middle East, Ukraine, economy, immigration. The pardons, I don't think it's such a big deal, you know?
Well, are you being targeted by Donald Trump?
Not currently.
Yeah, well... If you were targeted, you might feel differently. But and you're saying Donald Trump is going to help in the Middle East? He's going to help with immigration? Is that what you said?
Ukraine, immigration.
Ukraine? I think he's going to help in Ukraine? Yeah. Did you vote for Donald Trump this year?
I did not vote.
You did not? Why didn't you vote?
Because I'm under 18.
Okay. If you had been 18 or older, would you have voted for Donald Trump?
Probably.
Okay. All right. All right. And you say no to the preemptive pardons, correct?
Strong no.
Okay. Strong no. Thanks. I appreciate the call, Bob. Thank you very much. 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Joel in Los Angeles. Hey, Joel. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hey, Brad. Thanks a lot. Thanks for what you do, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
So, isn't this assumption for pardons is that someone was either guilty mm-hmm. or misjudged?
Yes.
And that a pardon is a way to remedy that injustice?
That is the norm. That is the tradition.
Right. So, in the tradition, I don't believe anybody has done anything wrong. And there shouldn't be a need for them to be pardoned for anything. That's like assuming that they're guilty of something. So I'm going to say no to the pardons and let the justice system play itself out if they think they're going to go there. But I would say no.
And you'd feel that same way, Joel, if Donald Trump announced that he was coming after Joel in Los Angeles?
Yeah, because Joel hasn't done anything illegal. And so I have no reason to be. I have nothing to be pardoned for.
Well, you don't, but you got a lot of money to lose. You got a lot of lot to lose once this retribution machine gets wound up by Donald Trump and starts attacking you. Anyway, I take your vote as a no, and I appreciate it, and I think it's well reasoned. You're just wrong. But other than that, I appreciate it, Joel. Thanks, okay. Man.
Cool. It's all right to be wrong. We could agree to disagree, right?
There we are. Absolutely. Thank you, my friend. Apparently, it looks like everybody almost is agreeing to disagree with me today. Do we have time? Do we ever get Matt back? We never got Matt back. Okay. We are going to, we couldn't get Matt back. Let's go to who's left? Mo, the one and only. Morris from Long Beach. Hey, Mo, what do you think? Should Joe Biden issue a preemptive pardon to, let me go down the list. Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense for Joe Biden. Bill Barr, the former Attorney General under Trump. John Bolton, the former National Security Advisor under Trump. Joe Biden, the President of the United States. These are people who are on Kash Patel's hit list, which he published in his own book. Let me read a few more before I get your answer, Mo. Hillary Clinton is on the list. James Comey is on the list. Merrick Garland is on the list. Kamala Harris, Eric Holder, the former Attorney General under Obama. Cassidy Hutchinson, the former assistant to Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. Her crime, I guess, is testifying to the January 6th committee. All of these people are targeted by Kash Patel. Should they receive a preemptive pardon? General Mark Milley, should they receive a preemptive pardon from Joe Biden, Mo?
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, you got a good advertising company to handle this. It's all about how you frame it. For the black people, we're going to call it reparations. All you black people, don't worry about Trump. I'm going to give you your goddamn pre-exempt pardon right now. For the white people drinking the Kool-Aid about the rule of law and protecting democracy and whatnot, you guys can go up online right now. You can sign your name right now because he said he's coming after everybody. And the Democratic Party needs to use this as a tool to get ready for 2 years from now. You've got to do this right now, Brad. You got the House and the Senate and the Supreme Court. This ain't no joke, baby. Hell, we hit the goal. 70 million people should get a pardon. 70 million. The Latinos, I know you don't speak English. I don't know. You better be listening, too. 70 million people. Go online. Give them to everybody because he's coming after everybody.
Thank you, Mo. Well said. By the way, I'm one of those white dudes who believe in the rule of law, and I still think that he should be pardoned. Do we have time for... Okay, Mimi Kennedy, our friend.
Mimi. The answer, yes, he should issue the pardon. You were right about gerrymandering, Brad. You said the Democrats should be gerrymandering, and you were right about it back when you said it. And people are like, no, it's not nice. It's the norm. No, we're not going to do that. So you're right about this, too. Do it while you got the power.
Thank you, Mimi. Delightful to hear from you. We have got to get out. Sorry about that. My thanks to our producer, of course, Desi Doyen, to my board operator, Wendell, the handyman Handy, of course, and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us, including calling in. Thanks, callers, and thanks to all the callers we couldn't get to. If you missed any portion of today's show, download it anytime for free at bradblog.com, and you can drop me email. I am bradcast@bradblog.com. And on the social medias, now including Blue Sky, you will find me at The Brad Blog. See you there until we see you here next time, hopefully tomorrow. I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world. right. You thought you were done with me. No, I'm not done. I got another minute or two here as we are on Fun Drive at KPFK.
Yes,
and
we are.
Really need your help. Please give us a call, 818-985-5735. Anything you can help, you can afford to donate. Hit number 2 when you call in, 818-985-5735. Tell them you're a broadcast listener. Anything you can afford to help KPFK stay on your public airwaves, to help Pacifica Radio stay on your public airwaves, to help Pacifica Radio fight the assault that is coming at them under a Trump administration as specified specifically, I think it's on page 279, if I remember.
248.
Yeah. Of the of Project 2025. Now is the time. Please sign up, if you can, for a regular monthly donation or a sustainer circle for any amount you can afford. Or stop by, if you're listening on the podcast later on, stop by our website, kpfk.org. Pick yourself out a nice thank you gift, and any way you can, now is when we need your support.
And please remember that your your contribution to KPFK is tax deductible, so please keep KPFK in mind for your year-end giving, because we could really use it if everyone listening to KPFK right now became a sustaining member today with a regular monthly donation.
Oh, man.
KPFK would be on sound financial
man.
Footing, and
yeah.
we could upgrade our equipment, including the air conditioning in here, which isn't working right now, and the main
boo-hoo.
Control. And we could also hold fewer fund drives, which would be great.
Yay!
So remember, you support KPFK, you and you alone. You are necessary, and we thank you deeply. Please call us now. 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735.
Please tell them Brad sent you. As I mentioned, we got a new interim GM here, and there is going to be new programming on the way. We need to let them know. You need to let them know if you'd like to hear more of the broadcast and improvements to our broadcast day, which I am hoping to see move forward. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Hit button number 2 or go to kpfk.org. Either way, tell them Brad sent you. We'll see you tomorrow.